Awakened Wrestling fans, it is Monday, April 21st, and we just finished watching Monday Night Raw, and it is time for our tradition after it, as we always do, gathering here on Mega Powers Radio for the NPR Raw Post Show. I'll be your host for this evening's festivities, Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio, and joining me is our usual fantastic cast of characters on this Monday night show. First off, let me introduce the host of Addicted to Anime, which has a very special episode coming up this Sunday. I'll allow him to talk more about it, though. Mr. Steven Huego.
Hey, man. Fucking sick as a dog, but I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you, dude. Also with us here from the Retro Unlimited Network, long travels to get here, Mr. Miguel Leon.
Did you know that Paul Heyman's client, Brock Lesnar, conquered the streak?
Really?
Could you repeat that and hear you?
Paul Heyman's client, Brock Lesnar, conquered the streak.
Paul Heyman's client.
Yes, Paul Heyman's client, Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar
conquered the streak.
That's the big guy.
Yes.
Okay. I'm done with it. I'm not going all the way through that. And also with us here, the lead man of SmarkOutMoment.com and the host of the Smack Talk podcast, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
I got nothing funny to say.
I didn't have anything funny to say either, so it's okay.
Good. It was fair.
I didn't say anything funny either.
Well, just to start things off, as we always do, I like to talk about what we took away from this Raw tonight, and I really didn't take away anything. I joked last week after we started, I just went right into our outro music saying that nothing at all happened, but shit, at least we had the return of Evolution. This didn't have crap. I mean, we'll have little talking points we can go into, but completely insignificant Raw, absolutely skippable. So if you're listening to this after the fact, and haven't watched it yet, I should say, you just listen to us. Listen to us talk about it, and you'll be good. Let's go around and get your guys' overall thoughts that you took away from this. Mr. Steven Huego, why don't you start us off?
I actually enjoyed tonight's Raw. I mean, don't get me wrong, there was nothing that stuck out in my mind as must-see, but for what it was worth, it was an enjoyable show. If I had to take one thing away from it, though, it is Bad News Barrett is fucking awesome.
Oh, yes. Indeed. All right, let's take it over to Miguel Leon. What did you take away from tonight's Raw?
If this Raw had been an old stool 2-hour Raw instead
an
of
old stool,
sorry,
this Raw was an old stool. If you ask me,
yeah, that was a Freudian slip there. But if this Raw had been an old 2-hour Raw as opposed to the 3-hour Raw, it would have been a fine show. I mean, I enjoyed myself up until the third hour. The first 2 hours were okay, but man, that third hour just fell off a cliff.
I feel like we could just make a sound clip of any one of us just saying, man, the first 2 hours were awesome, but the third hour just kind of started to drag.
Yeah, that's just about right.
Or some kind of variation of, if you take this 3-hour show and make it a 2-hour show, it would be a lot better.
In fact, when we get to it, I'll pinpoint exactly when the show fell off the cliff for me.
All right. Well, let's take it around to Mr. Tony Mango. What did you take away from tonight?
Heels are awesome. Everything that WWE says, no, come on, give it a shot, I swear to God, it's entertaining, isn't. And the fans are right.
The fans are right?
The fans are right about, like, everything.
Everything?
Yep.
As far as what? Give me an example here.
All right, well, quick, I'm not going to, you know, go down each segment and all that kind of stuff, but everything, like, the Divas tonight, they are adamant that, like, no, these are entertaining. Nope. Hornswoggle and that kind of crap, nope. Fans do not care about that. But you get Bad News Barrett, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, most over people in the company, it seems, right now. The fans dominate all this stuff, and heels are awesome.
Uh-oh, Mr. Awesome Piano Man is in the chat room. What's up, Awesome Piano Man, in the his ass?
Well, to be fair, though, if you ask Jim Ross, there really is no heels in WWE anymore.
Miguel, way to just, like, no-sell Awesome Piano Man.
Yeah.
One of our favorite fans. He's back from a long hiatus. And not to downplay Mr. Brian the Brain and Vix in the chat room as well. Shout out to you folks as well. Thanks for showing up and holding things down as well. Reminding everyone out there, we do have a chat room open on the broadcast page in case you are listening to us somewhere else. Go ahead and click the link that brings you to blogtalkradio.com/megapowersradio or megapowersradio.com and go to the broadcast. You'll see a chat room down there. Or later on when we open up the phone lines around 11:30, you will be able to call in using a telephone line or Skype, whichever you prefer. If you want Skype, press the Skype icon at the top of the page. page. And if you want to use the phone, it's area code 760-512-7247. There's another line that I really haven't gotten down yet, but if you see it printed somewhere, it is accessible. Feel free to call on that number as well. Get yourself in line. We'll get you here to get your opinions about tonight's Monday Night Raw or whatever the heck else is going on. So, guys, usually I like to pick one big segment to start on, but I guess there really isn't one, so let's just go ahead and go to the beginning. I was a little late getting home, but from what I saw, this first segment seems like, well, first off, let's just say Daniel Bryan's back after his little, honeymoon with Brie Bella after their marriage, so congratulations to the happy couple. We open up with them on the show. However, they are attacked by Kane, who leaves Daniel Bryan with not one, not two, but three tombstones, getting more intense with each one. One of them on the stairs, one of them on the table. Daniel Bryan eventually being stretchered out. And we learn that it is official for Extreme Rules, Daniel Bryan versus Kane. I didn't catch if there's a stipulation to it. I'm sure there will be. It's an Extreme Rules event. But did any of you guys catch that? Was there a stipulation?
I don't think they've announced a single stipulation other than the steel cage match. They haven't said anything with the Evolution match. They didn't say anything for this. I think they're not really sure what they're going to do. So right now it's just sort of like, meh, that's a match.
Just call it an Extreme Rules match.
Yeah, Brian the Brain says it's an Extreme Rules match.
Oh, bullshit. I hate that garbage.
I'm going to trust the Brain.
That pisses me off.
Well, you hit the match or Brian?
No, not Brian. I hate the whole WWE.
He says it was posted on WWE.com. That's a pretty reliable source, I would say.
No, I trust Wikipedia.
I trust Wikipedia.
Yeah,
so let's get your guys' thoughts on this opening segment. We'll start with you, Wago, because I don't think you were there either, but did you watch on your DVR after you got home?
Yep, the only things I really skipped through tonight was Fandango versus Santino for the 1,000th time. But as far as the opening segment goes, I enjoyed the mic work between Daniel Bryan and Stephanie, and then the tombstones, they were fun, but I think they dragged it out a little too long. It became one of those awkward beatdowns more so than it should have been one of those, oh, Kane just kicked the shit out of him beatdowns, so.
Which they've been doing a lot of lately, it feels like. They've really been extending these beatdowns for, like, it feels like forever with some of them, especially like the one Triple H did on Daniel Bryan or the Brock Lesnar one on Big Show at Royal Rumble.
I just felt if you did the tombstone on the steps and then just chokeslammed him through the table, it would have been a lot more impactful.
I want to pull a couple comments here out of the chat room. Awesome Piano Man saying, condolences to Daniel Bryan's family for Daniel Bryan's dad and respect to him for showing up for the fans. I didn't know anything happened. That definitely is, I'll second that, condolences to the family and definitely props to Daniel Bryan for showing up.
Well, that's why he was written off the TV in the first place, is he needs time off to set up the whole funeral and whatnot.
Oh, that's awful. And also James Baelish with another comment I did want to touch on. He says he likes how Brie Bella came out with her husband Daniel Bryan. Really the first time we're seeing the two of them arm in arm standing there with each other, not on Total Divas, but on Raw. So I thought that was neat to see.
Shouldn't they be calling her Brie Bryan now? That'd be so fucking awkward if they do.
Yeah. Miguel, did you catch this first segment?
I did. It really just had two aspects of WWE that I really don't like. One is the overlong beatdown, and two is side characters not knowing when to shut up and let the moment sink in. Case in point, Stephanie constantly having to chime in going, "No, Kane, stop it! Stop it!" I'm like, oh, God, it ruined the moment. And it was bad enough that the moment went on way too long. Like, honestly, after the first tombstone on the steps, you could have easily just stopped it. You know, when they bought the stretcher out and they were slowly moving out, it's like, all right, this was a long enough beatdown. It was okay. It was a little annoying with the voice, but it was fine. It got the point across. But like Wago said, WWE just doesn't know when to stop, and they just kept going. And the side noise and just it was a cluster. It to me really set a bad taste in my mouth for the rest of the night, in all honesty.
See, I was fortunate to only see it in the replays, which was just pretty much quick succession of tombstones. So it was a lot more tolerable. So I can't really understand what you're saying, but if you're explaining it that way, I totally get it.
Which replay, the first one or the 700th one? Fuck me.
Tony, what'd you think about this opening segment?
At first, I was liking it. I didn't really like the whole Stephanie thing, like when Miguel was saying. That is really bothersome. But I liked the idea that he had given him that tombstone over the steel steps. But, man, when they did that one on the commentary table, that took it away from me. If that would have broken, it would have looked cool. But since it didn't, I was just like, duh, crap.
Man, those
like,
tables are so fickle.
They seem like they will break so easily if you're not supposed to. And then if you are supposed to, and it's supposed to be like this awesome spot where, oh my God, it crashed and like this person's terribly injured, then that's when it doesn't break. And I don't know if that necessarily was like supposed to break or not, but it would look.
It was supposed to be. Why else?
Right. I mean, it always looks so much better when it breaks. So. I mean, I am not somebody who can say, well, if I were there, I would be doing this because I wouldn't be able to do a damn thing that these people do. But I would think that it would have been so much cooler if Kane would have just said to Brian, like, look, that was supposed to break and it didn't. So how about I pick you up and give you, like, as many more as we need to until this breaks. I'll jump the fuck up if I have to break this. That way.
That sounds safe.
Right. That way it'll be like, all right. Brian got like 10 fucking tombstones, and the last one that broke it was finally like Kane just said, fuck you, I'm breaking this thing. I don't care what I have to do. That would have looked cooler to me, but, you know, they needed to figure out a way to get these two together, and I guess this is fine. The match will be okay.
I think it was in 2010 when Randy Orton and Christian were having their extended feud, and it was two pay-per-views in a row where I think the first one. The table gave out way too early when Randy Orton was going to do an RKO on Christian on the table. So it was before he was even able to do the leap. The table just collapsed from underneath the feet. And then the next month's pay-per-view, when he went to do the RKO, he did it, I think it was either two or maybe even three times on the table, and it didn't break.
This is why we need a Spanish announce table.
Yeah, I remember back in the 2000s when they used to do that spot. I remember one specifically. It was between, I think it was Triple H and Kurt Angle where the pedigree on the table where the table gave out like just as Triple H was just about to jump, so they both kind of collapsed onto each other.
I think that
wasn't it in the DX RKO match, rated RKO match, where Triple H did that same thing? He was doing a pedigree on the table, and the table gave out, and that's how he retore his quad.
Was that? I don't remember if that was it.
He either tore his quad doing that spot, or he did it after he gave him the spine buster afterwards. One of the two, but it was that match.
I don't know. But, so we didn't get to see a lot from Daniel Bryan tonight. Unfortunate because he wasn't there last week, but certainly under the circumstances, understandable.
My only problem with the whole fact that they took this too far, though, is it really does set up to where he really has to win this matchup in Extreme Rules. Because if you give this guy that much of a beating and he ends up losing the matchup, it's going to make him look even worse. Like, it's almost like, all right, they went so far ridiculous with this that it makes more sense for him to lose, because it's not like a John Cena situation where you can DDT somebody on concrete and he can come up and get the pinfall still. I mean, you did three tombstones, one on a table that didn't break and the other on steel steps. I mean, it's to the point where if he doesn't have multiple, you know, fractures in his spine, it's going to look ridiculous. It's going to look just unbelievable. And it almost feels like they did it so too far to the point where he has to lose at the pay-per-view coming up. I don't think he can win. That's if we're keeping kayfabe involved.
Indeed. Speaking of that, Awesome Piano Man is questioning, how is Kane the number one contender all of a sudden? That's easy. He's in with the Triple H Stephanie regime.
Well, you see, when you put a mask on, it elevates your ability to wrestle, and that made him a number one contender.
Yeah. Why doesn't that work with Rey Mysterio then anymore?
Well, did you not see how that made him jump 20 spots on the power rankings? That's how it works.
Well, to be fair, Rey Mysterio has been wearing it a long time now. Now it's just got stale.
That's really sad, and I made this comment. I think I made it to Burhan, and I made it to another wrestling post online. It really shows how much of a lack of main eventers we have in the WWE, because it seems like everybody that could have been slotted into that main event spot is being jobbed out right now. I mean, you know, if you looked at last year, you could have slotted maybe a Ryback into there, an Alberto Del Rio, maybe a Dolph Ziggler, maybe a Cesaro, somebody in there, but maybe with this, aside from Cesaro, everybody else is either doing something or they're just not on the same caliber anymore. And it really is telling that in 2014 we're still relying on Kane as the number one contender for a WWE title.
I actually think it makes perfect sense. If I were to be on the creative team, this is exactly what I would have went with. Because Kane's somebody who he has some kind of history with Brian, and you don't really need to put a whole lot of effort into it. You could focus more on the Shield and Evolution stuff, which is really the selling point of this whole pay-per-view. And you know that Brian's going to win his match because he's not going to have another title win where he loses at the next pay-per-view. So if it's already a guarantee that he's going to win it, you might as well just kind of do the easy thing. And you can build up somebody like a Cesaro or whatever for SummerSlam or Money in the Bank or another one of those. We have like a little bit more time to do it.
Yeah, I'm okay with these type of opponents too, because not every person he's got to fight is going to be a John Cena or a Batista or a Randy Orton. It can be an upper mid-card guy, and someone like Kane is the perfect person to feed to him to get him over.
Plus, if any pay-per-view is going to be the time that you're going to do a throwaway match like that, Extreme Rules, where you've got gimmicks all over the place, is the best one. Next
one
after that.
I wouldn't
even
call it a throwaway match. I mean, once upon a time, you used to rotate the guys who your champion faced. He didn't face the same guy for 3, 4, 5 months in a row.
Right.
So I like this, you know. Shake it up.
Okay. All right. Yeah, maybe. All right. I guess if they're going to put anybody in there, I guess Kane makes the most sense. I don't know. I mean, we've seen every angle of Kane there is. It's just I can't care any less about this matchup. And that's unfortunate because it does seem like they're really giving it their all. But like I said, we've just seen it all before in the past.
All right, guys, let's move on from that first segment. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was there anything else between that and the Sheamus Bad News Barrett match?
No.
Okay, excellent. So we continued our number one contenders Intercontinental title tournament. The first match we had tonight was between Sheamus and Bad News Barrett, and it was pretty good. I got to say, these two guys who have been wrestling together for years and years and years, going back to when they were wrestling across the pond, Bad News Barrett getting the victory here. The fans firmly behind him, going crazy when he hit the bullhammer. I missed his entrance, but apparently he had pyro tonight, so I think you'd have to be a fool not to be 100% behind Bad News Barrett, especially seeing that Cesaro is not a guy continuing in this. This looks like he's got this in the bag. But let's go around to get your guys' thoughts on this. Tony, start us off.
Oh, man. Best match of the night. Best pop of the night when he got that pyro entrance, which is fucking awesome. And totally called this. I really am excited for Bad News Barrett to be the new champion. I like Big E, but BNB is like fucking awesome right now. That's another example of what I had mentioned earlier with the big takeaway of the night, where things that WWE have been trying to convince us about and the fans aren't really being that receptive to really were showcased tonight. Sheamus is one of those. For the longest time, they have been adamant that Sheamus is like a huge guy that we should really care about. And who's the one who gets the cheers tonight? Bad News Barrett, a guy who they virtually ignored for the most part last year and ended up having to create a really kind of ridiculous gimmick in a lot of ways, but that got over so much better than Sheamus ever has, it seems. And it's funny to see like Sheamus is a babyface going into this, the former, you know, multiple time world champion, a guy who really everybody should be behind. And you give Bad News Barrett some pyro and everybody's like, dude, the best thing about this whole thing is with Bad News Barrett's got pyro. I think that's awesome, though. I'm a big supporter of this segment. I thought it was probably the best part of the whole night.
Man, I remember where Wade Barrett was at this time last year. He lost the Intercontinental title on the pre-show of WrestleMania.
To The Miz, who did nothing for the rest of the year.
Well, then he got it back the next night, but then just continued to have an absolutely meaningless Intercontinental title run. Here he is gearing up most likely to get the number one contendership for it, and he already means more than he did while he was the champion last year.
Who did he drop it to last year?
Was it Curtis Axel, I think? He lost it in a triple threat, I believe.
Oh, that's right. How forgettable he came
with,
after that,
with,
too.
With Curtis Axel and The Miz. Yeah, the new best in the world. Hey, he was still on the show tonight. Where's CM Punk, huh? Yeah, exactly.
True.
Indeed.
Biggest work ever.
Miguel, what'd you think about this matchup, dude?
I mean, talk about a complete 180 of where this guy was a year ago. I mean, I was complaining here on the show, well, not this show, but on a Smart Out Moment that, you know, I just was not getting into the Bad News Barrett gimmick. I thought the comedy written for him was just really poorly done, as WWE comedy usually is. And it just proves that when you let the guy go out there and just do his thing and entertain the crowd with his work ethic, you can get him over. I think people just respect the fact that he's an entertaining guy in the ring. You know, he goes out there, puts on some solid matches, and the crowd is really receptive to that. You know, he's got a great person. He's got a great, you know, personality out there. He's got the charisma for it. And I think it really has won him over with the fans, more so than the actual Bad News Barrett gimmick itself. As far as the matchup, match of the night, in my opinion, I think these guys just went out there and just really just – it was a solid matchup. It wasn't, you know, them going around doing flips in the air or anything like that. It wasn't chain wrestling. It was just two guys going out there just brawling and beating each other down. And it was quick-paced. It was entertaining. And I'm really glad that Barrett got the win. I mean, to me, Sheamus at this point has had his run. To me, I think he's going to be one of those upper mid-card main event guys that kind of like where a Kane is now, where if you need him to fill up a title slot or to fill up a sixth spot on like an elimination chamber or things like that, he's going to be your guy there to where you put him in there and it won't look odd. So I'm glad that Barrett's really – I'm glad that they let Sheamus put the guy over in terms of this Intercontinental title shot, because to be fair, I really don't want to see Sheamus with the Intercontinental title.
All right, folks, we're going to be opening up the phone lines in just a moment. The chat room's already burning up hot, so if you're missing out on that action, make sure you get on the broadcast page and scroll down to the chat room. But the phone lines, as I said, opening up in just a couple minutes. Get yourself in line. Area code 760-512-7247. You can also dial in using Skype by pressing the little Skype icon at the top of the page. But before we take on our first caller, let's turn it over to Mr. Tony Mango for your opinions about this Intercontinental number one contenders tournament matchup.
You already asked him his opinion.
I did. Who do I have left?
We gotta go to Wago.
Steven Wago. Okay, sorry. I knew I had one person.
You're good. I'll forgive you. As far as Wade Barrett's situation goes, I was an advocate for turning him face with this gimmick. And the more I see of him, I want him to still act like a heel, because I think if he ends up playing towards a babyface crowd, it's not going to come off the same way. So if he can just continue what he's doing right now and having good matches and pretty much, you know, kind of acting like a tweener role, I'm going to enjoy it.
I think he's just a really, really popular tweener, kind of like a Chris Jericho. Not to, like, doom him to that, but, you know, where Chris Jericho was for a lot of his career.
So, yeah, I'm very happy with the situation Wade Barrett's in right now. And giving him pyro just added that little extra boom to his entrance. So,
and am I the only one who's digging the cape?
Oh, absolutely! I thought that was awesome.
It's unfitting, but at the same time, I really like it. So,
he's English. Of course, it's fitting.
Oh, does that mean I get to wear one?
Yeah,
should be wearing one.
That means Tony Mango gets to wear one.
I'm gonna Photoshop it on you every card now.
All right, I'm okay with that. So, I'm all for Wade Barrett, and I hope he wins the IC Championship.
All right. Oh, Time Cow is telling us that it is time to open up the phone lines to you, listeners. So if you want to get yourself on the show to talk about your opinions about Monday Night Raw tonight, dial in area code 760-512-7247. Also hit the Skype icon at the top of the page. Either one will get you in line. And let's take our first caller on, our good friend from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Mr. JD. What's shaking, JD?
Hey, guys. Happy Monday. How was your Easter's?
Well, it was pretty lame. I actually was working. I hope it was great for the rest of you guys. I didn't even ask you guys. How was y'all's Easter's? Good? Yes? Bad? Awful?
Meh. Meh. It's Easter.
How was yours, JD?
Mine wasn't too bad. I got to go to brunch with my family, got to see my nieces, so that was real nice. And then we went over to my sister's, and my girlfriend came over, and we had dinner over there with her family, my brother-in-law and his family. It was nice, though. So
Did you rot your teeth with any candy?
No, surprisingly, I did not, believe it or not, this year. I did not do that, believe it or not. Usually, I mean, ever since I had a health issue a couple of years ago, I'm peanut butter and Reese's Cup, and I can't do them no more as much as I want to. I mean, that is my Achilles heel, and I just unfortunately can't do it no more. Well, oh well. Let's get into Raw, boys. I mean,
yeah,
tonight,
totally.
However, like you said tonight, I mean, Raw was kind of a bland show. I mean, personally, in my opinion, I think it was absolutely I don't know this thing. Brian maybe told Vince or Stephanie or Triple H, whoever, that I want to go out there in honor of my dad and do this. However, I mean, I think it was classless the way they opened the show. I think it was absolutely stupid. And once again, it shows that Stephanie McMahon, in her screechy mouth, loved to get any way possible. Kane, don't do that. Kane, don't do that. Meh, 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 meh. And then, of course, speaking of big mouths, however, we have to obviously have Triple H have his little butt boys, Batista and Orton, kissing his ass every turn, thinking, oh, we're so popular because we're Evolution. We're so popular because we're Evolution. I mean, I would have loved to have seen, once again, Evolution put on their back. But once again, what does Triple H do? Oh, he has to hire his little goons, if you will, the entire locker room, because basically he has a little pussy and he's afraid to get in the ring with the Shield when it's the time. Well, guess what, Triple H? You're going to get your ass kicked at Extreme Rules, buddy. And the Shield are going to make sure that, because obviously your little butt boy, Batista, is off promoting his little big movie, and that's why he's taking some time off now after Extreme Rules, if you ask me. Who's going to be there to help you out? Oh, that's right. Your other buddy, Randy Orton, who's been kissing your ass pretty well. How's that taste, by the way? Give me a break. I mean, it's time. I've been saying for weeks, it's time for Vince to get back on television and just end this goddamn authority thing. Enough is enough already. Seriously.
If we had a ticker across the screen, I think hashtag buttboy would be trending right now.
Yes. I mean, it shows every week that Triple H, I mean, has his little two butt boys kissing his ass and wiping it for him. He's like, oh Orton, Batista, do my dirty work for me. Stephanie, why don't you take care of this for me? Oh, that's right. You have, basically, you're the mother and wife of my kids, however. You're kissing my ass, too, or basically I'm kissing your ass and making everyone's life a living hell. I mean, and like I said, this was a bland show tonight. It wasn't a great show as last week, however. I mean, last week, yeah, the end was good, however. But there was really not one big – I mean, two big things that came out of tonight that were okay. But other than that, it was just another boring show. I mean, you have this whole Hornswoggle 3MB thing.
Oh, goodness.
Please, give me a break. That made me want to vomit. I mean, yeah, it was funny, but it was cheesy, too. It just – I don't know. It wasn't one of the better shows tonight. Hopefully they'll get back on track next week. They got Hugh Jackman coming in St. Louis. I mean, Ziggler obviously said, however, him and I guess Jackman have patched things up, so it'll be interesting to see what happens next week with 1 week to go to Extreme Rules and what the rating will be. But I think tonight they kind of dropped off in the rating, if you ask me.
Well, that begs an important question. After this week, they only got one more. With this show, did they make you want to buy Extreme Rules?
Well, usually I watch it at the bar. No, I mean, I usually watch it at the bar up the street with the $5 car, which is nice. I can't complain. I watch it with my friends. But if I was purchasing it firsthand, no, I don't think they did enough to sell this. They really didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it was nice to see Daniel Bryan have the feel-good moment a couple weeks ago. Yes, it was nice to see Daniel Bryan back on TV only for a short time tonight with Brie Bella. And congrats, like you said earlier, to him and Brie. Best of luck to them. But obviously, however, to take him out at the start of the show like they did, however, like I said, I don't know if it was whoever call it was, however, but I think it was a slap in the face to do that to start the show. I really think it was a slap in the face in a lot of ways, and I think people, after seeing that, were just turned off, and that's when they switched over to the channel and said, oh, we got baseball on, we got hockey, we got Dancing with the Stars, we got The Voice, we got all these other shows tonight. I think Raw's ratings are going to go down this week. They really are.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to tune in specifically to see Hugh Jackman. No offense to him, huge star, but
no.
People don't watch Raw and see Hugh Jackman. He's just someone who makes the show a little more
pleasant.
Next
week it's not going to be much better. You're exactly right. And plus, they're going to be, speaking of Butt Boys, in Butt Boy Randy Orton's hometown next week. You know Triple H is obviously going to be kissing his ass real well. Oh, Randy, you have the night off, buddy. You don't have to worry about taking care of Daniel Bryan. Batista's going to take care of him for you. Come on. Batista, I mean, he hasn't done dick since he came back. All he is a brown noser. That's all he's been since he came back, as a brown noser. And like I said, he's like Orton, backing his nose right into Triple H's hiney, needless to say. And why? Because he's Mr. Hollywood, the new Mr. Hollywood. Well, guess what, Batista? Let's see how your movie does in a couple weeks, buddy. I guarantee you're going to fail on your face, just like you failed ever since you came back. Give me a break. Goodness.
JBL, he just called you JBL. JBL, what the fuck?
Whoops,
JD,
that was great.
You're good, bad, and ugly for this week. Or you just your high point, low point? Excuse me.
High point, I would definitely say the Sheamus Barrett match. I would also say RVD and Cesaro. I mean, I would love to have seen Cesaro win, and obviously now we heard, of course, Cesaro and Swagger are going to be taking on each other on SmackDown this week. However, I would say Sheamus and Barrett was the high point. I do like Barrett, like you guys pointed out. I think they've definitely got this gimmick going in the right direction. At least I hope it lasts for a while now. I think he will be the next IC champion because he's just got the crowd with him. The Wyatt thing kind of dropped off a little bit this week, so I kind of give that a negative. But the real negative to me, however, more and more, however, is this Rusev Lana thing. This is just dumb every week. It's the same thing. Drago and freaking La Mila from 1985. I wish they would get rid of this gimmick. And another gimmick that's just more cheesy, the whole 3MB Hornswoggle Los Matadores El Torito thing. Dumb, dumb, dumb. They did a lot of good bit of comedy tonight, and they just could have backed away from that, if you ask me.
Chat room, J.D. Layfield. Got a the new Twitter handle
like
for
it.
You. All right, J.D., thank you so much for calling in as always, bro. Great call. We'll talk to you next week, most likely, man.
Definitely. Talk to you guys next Monday. Have a good rest of the week.
You too, bro. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Oh, another fantastic call here on the Raw Post Show. Everyone out there listening, please call in so you too can get in your opinions and see what type of hashtags you can get trending here. Remember, phone number is area code 760-512-7247. You can also hit the Skype icon at the top of the page and get yourselves in line to call into the NPR Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. Chat room going awesome as well. If you don't get yourselves in there, you're missing out. Awesome Piano Man, Brian the Brain, Joseph Stallman, Vix, and of course our very own Steven Huego keeping things rocking in there. Bring it back to you guys, though. Something that JD was certainly very upset about. The Los Matadores and their little bull El Torito taking on three-man band, which I guess we'll call the three-and-a-half-man band now,
it's Hornswoggle. It's still the three-man band? It's still got three members? Because I only remember seeing two out there.
I think the other one was just standing ringside. I don't think he was actually involved in the match. You are right, but three-man band was there.
Yeah, because I remember JBL made a comment. He was like, this is a five-man tag team matchup. It's like
two-and-a-half versus two-and-a-half.
Yeah.
What a freaking mess. First off, they did this on SmackDown already, which they're making a big habit of. If a match happens on SmackDown, you're very likely to see it happen on Raw the upcoming day. Oh, pardon me. Two of them. This was dumb. Dumb. Just like that.
Dumb.
Tony, what did you think about our midget match?
It's dumb. I mean, it really was so terrible. I unfortunately had to do the SmackDown coverage for Smackout Moment this week, and it's the first episode of SmackDown that I've watched in maybe a year or two. And god damn it, is that an awful show now. And I had to sit through this crap Friday. So the last thing I wanted to see on Monday Night Raw was footage of what I saw and then a repeat of that same stupid-ass segment. This is terrible, and I had to go specifically out of my way to write that down as, like, potential for worst in a lot of categories for the end of the year awards. Just garbage.
Hey, do you know Dylan has a movie coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you didn't know, there's a reboot of the Leprechaun movie franchise. Yeah, they're going to start with Leprechaun Origins, starring Dylan as the Leprechaun.
Yep. It would be great to buy a line. Like, yeah, you know, like the other movies, they would sell a movie just by the poster saying Schwarzenegger on top and all that. It just has, like, Dylan. Nobody goes to see the fucking movie. If you want to put him in a horror movie and do some kind of a reboot or like that,
You know what's amazing? The movie is rated R.
Really?
So I really think they are going to be taking a horror approach to it.
My God, just make him play fucking Jason or something.
Wasn't tonight enough of a fucking horror film?
Miguel, why don't you take over telling us about this Battle of the Minis?
Does this mean that Dylan's a heel now?
I don't know.
Does he have heels?
I mean, I'm kind of seeing that. Like, am I supposed to be booing 3MB? They're heels, aren't? Isn't it?
I never understood what they were.
Yeah.
Remember when back when the Shield was still like big heels, three man band came out and challenged him and almost had like a little bit of a babyface turn?
We already know what they are. They're the three man band.
You know,
sorry.
All right,
just got in the moment.
I'll say this. On paper, the members of 3MB that they had, McIntyre and Jinder Mahal versus Los Matadores, could have been a solid matchup. As is. I mean, I don't think those guys are terrible workers. I don't think they're great workers, but
I don't think they're bad in-ring performers. I do think they focus way too much on the whole, you know, Torito versus Hornswoggle thing, which, you know, I didn't see the SmackDown bit, so I didn't hate this segment as much. I kind of chuckled at the whole one-off gimmick of them fighting each other, but the fact that you're saying that they did this multiple times before, I could see how that would grate on people's minds. I mean, it was bound to happen. When you have two of the same thing in the WWE, they're going to put them together at one point. So I knew sooner or later we were going to get a Hornswoggle-Torito matchup somewhere down the line. So I'm kind of resigned to it. I'm like, all right, it was going to happen. At least they have him with 3MB, so it's not, you know, two baby faces technically. You know, so it is what it is. I'm not saying I hated this matchup. I would... Honestly, morbid curiosity-wise, I'd like to see these guys actually have a solid matchup by themselves. You know, give them a smaller ring to work with, because obviously it's going to be hard for them to work in that big ring. But, you know, you give them a small enough ring that they could really do their moves about. Who knows? Maybe they could really pull off some interesting stuff. We don't know.
Just get one of those inflatable little rings and stick it in the middle of the big one.
You hear that, Drew White? The WWE might be calling for you. Bounce houses. I think I'm suffering from Bell's palsy. My mouth is all over the place.
I definitely want to see a bounce house at Old Stool Raw sometime.
Yeah, I think I might have Bell's palsy. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Wago, your thoughts about this match?
So, there are midgets. It was shitty. I'd rather watch Samuel Shaw.
This segment would have been awesome in, like, 1999 when midgets were cool.
No.
Midgets were cool in 1999?
Yeah, man. There was a whole mid...
Oh, yeah. Like, Kid Rock had a midget, and then there was that, like, one black midget who was in all those movies.
Yeah, Spirit had a midget.
And then we realized they're freaks and we should hate them.
Yeah, we had Wee Man in there. I mean, there was a period in the late 90s to the early 2000s where midgets were just so... They were awesome.
Midgets are kind of making a comeback, though. I mean, you got, like, Peter Dinklage becoming a really big deal, and now WWE has not one but two midgets. You're gonna have the reboot of Leprechaun. Maybe we're coming up to another midget renaissance.
I got it. Next year, gimmick battle royal. Instead of the Andre the Giant one, they go the total opposite for the smallest people, and you just have like Mini Me and Max Mini.
The Max Mini Memorial.
Right, exactly.
Bret Hart and Mini Booker T back.
You know what the problem with these midget fads are, though? They're very short-lived. All right.
I wish I had my rim shot sound effect here.
All right, guys. We got another caller on the line, so let's go ahead and open that up. It's another friend of the show, Brian the Brain. Y'all know him from the chat room. Let's get him on here. Brian, you there with us?
Yeah, how's it going?
Absolutely tremendous, bro. How you doing tonight?
Good, good. I just wanted to say I just really do not like seeing El Torito get the pin on.
Thanks, Brain.
Sorry.
Go ahead. You don't like El Torito?
I don't like him getting the pin on a full size wrestler. I think they should do like they do in the Divas when it's Divas and guys. It should be in and out like that same thing. If they're going to do it, just have El Torito and Dylan and Hornswoggle in a match one-on-one, extreme rules, make it a tables match. Let's see what they can do with something like that.
Shout out to Pizza Rolls. Just saying,
yeah.
Chat room's asking for shout out to Pizza Rolls. I love Pizza Rolls.
Pizza Rolls. good.
Man, we could harp on these minis all day, but I want to ask you, Brian, was there anything positive you took away from Raw tonight? Oh, long silence. Jeez.
Ooh, not really. just mainly, I did like the Sheamus Barrett match. Other than that, Wyatt's promo at the end was really good, but just overall, it was not the best of Raw's.
So were you any more excited for Extreme Rules by this?
Not really, but I'm going to watch anyways. I got network, so, you know.
True that. One thing we've certainly seen them at least trying to do this last month is they're introducing a lot of new people. Do you feel like anyone got a little bit of a rise tonight and you're more looking forward to them now than you were last week?
Just Rusev, but I like him. I like that old school feeling, Scott.
See, people like him.
I do. I don't know why he's got that. He's just got that puny body, and I mean puny lower body, huge upper body, and it just kind of reminds me of the wrestlers from like the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, no boots. That's kind of a throwback thing too. You know, other
plus
than that,
these squash matches.
Like Kane. Kane was okay. Good tonight. Kane of old, kind of destroying Daniel Bryan. I didn't particularly like the fact that they went a little too far with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
And Swagger's new siren song. That was good. I mean, Cesaro's, excuse me, new siren song.
I'm indifferent on that, but that's cool. Someone likes it, so we're going to have a difference of opinion on that one. We'll talk about more ours
Someone
more on that
has
one.
To.
Geez, what else happens? I just wish that we had one big thing we could go into a conversation everybody about, but I'm kind of just like picking at the pieces of what I have in my notes here. Cody Rhodes is someone we got to see a little bit of a development from. Finally getting frustrated with his brother, we may finally see that Rhodes versus Rhodes matchup. What do you think about that, Brian?
I've been waiting for it. I was hoping it happened at WrestleMania, not at SummerSlam. I'm guessing that's what they're pushing for now. But
yeah, probably where the blow-off is.
Yeah. I really don't. It's sad because it's like they brought them back and they were really good, and now it seems like they just dropped them by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
I really do not like when they do that with really great wrestlers like Cody Rhodes and, you know, Goldust. They're really good, and they're a lot better than what they're making them out to be right now.
Awesome. Yeah, man's like, oh, so Peyton starts asking, so what'd you think of WrestleMania a few weeks ago? Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. Not a lot from
right?
this week's Raw, not a lot from last week's Raw. I feel bad. I wish I had more for you guys. But, all right, Brian, let's cut to the chase then. Your high point, low point for tonight's Raw.
Sheamus versus Barrett was high point. Low point was that the Santino and Emma kissing cobras.
Oh,
horrible. Horrible.
Absolutely. All right, Brian, thanks a lot for calling as always, man. We'll see you in the chat room and talk to you next week, probably.
All right.
Have a good night, bro. All right, another fantastic call. People, if you're listening out there, please continue calling in. Wago, never mind him. He's an asshole. He does not represent the opinions of everyone here at Mega Powers Radio. I love all you listeners. Please call in. Give your opinions about tonight's Raw and whatever the heck else is going on in the current state of WWE. Please do not call in to talk about TNA or Global Force Wrestling or any of that crap, though, because we're not going to talk about it.
I might.
No, you won't.
Okay.
Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to do that, or use Skype by clicking the little icon up there. And, of course, the chat room is rolling nicely. Let's continue the conversation with us panelists here, though. We were last talking about the midgets. I think we're done with that, though. Let's move on to the segment where we had Evolution and The Shield. Evolution is out first. Triple H talking like he has a little bit of laryngitis, or maybe he was screaming a bit over the weekend. I don't know, but he did not sound well. But props to him coming out there and still doing the job. Showed a neat little video package showing the past of Evolution and the dominance they used to have. I guess if you're more nostalgic of Evolution, it would mean more to you. But since I wasn't really watching at the time, it was just kind of meh. I always thought Triple H looked terrible at that point in his career. He looked very puffy and lumpy. And young Batista and Randy Orton, they just look like pretty boys. That's what they don't still. But I don't know. And it only got interesting when The Shield finally came out and started challenging them. The thing that I thought was really cool is that Seth Rollins was really kind of the major mouthpiece here, even kind of a point where he was just like, ah, cool it, Dean. I got this. Really like setting up Dean Ambrose as like the bad boy who's temperamental and needs to be held back, while Seth Rollins is the smooth lead talker. And of course, then inserts Roman Reigns, who's the brute, saying, well, here's what's going to happen. We're going to come up there and either you're going to fight us or you're going to run like cowards. Shield begins walking up. However, Triple H pulls out the ace in his back pocket by bringing out all the other people who were involved in that 11-on-3 match last week. Rusev, Fandango, Ryback, Soul, whoever the heck else was there. And that sets that all away from there. I don't think anything else happened in this. I think that was pretty much the end of the segment. Anyone correct me on that?
Nah, I think that's where it ended.
Yeah, pretty much just ended there. But we do have Evolution versus the Shield set for Extreme Rules. I'm pretty excited for that matchup. I got to say right now, that's the number one thing I'm looking forward to at Extreme Rules. And hell, I'm already paying for the network, so there's no reason not to be watching it. So, yeah, I'll be definitely tuning in for this match, if nothing else. Tony?
Definitely the huge selling point for this pay-per-view or special event or whatever the fuck you want to end up calling it now. And I'm excited about it, too. I think it's going to be really good. This segment, it had its positives and negatives. I totally agree with you about Seth Rollins, too. He was surprisingly good on the mic tonight. He's not really the mic guy, and he seems like he's making a lot of leaps and bounds. But I got to disagree with one thing. He's definitely not the smooth talker. That's clearly Roman Reigns. What's up, baby girl?
Well, you know, in the case of Dean Ambrose, he's, you know, Seth Rollins is definitely not the titty master.
So I like where they're going with the Shield babyface turn. I think that they're hitting a lot of hot positives here. It was weird with Triple H having lost his voice because that really didn't seem as intimidating as it should have been. And I didn't like how they ended this necessarily with him just repeating the same line as before. Because, I mean, certain things are kind of intimidating when you say them, and catchphrases can be, you know, like a really good way to like assert your dominance and whatever. But that catchphrase that they're doing now of the whole you like adapt or you die, and that's evolution kind of thing, it just kind of feels a little bit more like the pun that you would put on a video package, like the text that flies to the screen.
Sounds like something they would say in Game of Thrones.
Maybe, yeah. Something that's just, I mean, I can't fault them for doing like puns and stuff like that. I'm totally guilty of doing that as much as I can, but that's not the way to end a segment to me, especially when you've already done it. So that needed a little bit more oomph behind it. And I would have liked to see maybe the Shield just go, hey, fuck it, let's just go after them anyway or something like that, and maybe get their ass kicked, maybe not. Maybe they figure out a way to bring some chairs in and to hell with those other people or something. But the end of it is a little bit weird, but hey, you can't really have them interact too much until the pay-per-view.
Yeah, totally. Wago?
I really like the segment of events Seth Rollins. I felt rambled and went on a bit too long and stumbled over the same points a lot. Triple H's voice, I don't know what the fuck was up with him. I guess he's got a sore throat or something. Dean Ambrose sounded great, and Roman Reigns is doing well in his role where he just says at the minimum and then lets his actions speak louder. So I enjoyed the segment, but I'm with Tony where I think it could have needed a bit more oomph. Maybe they brought some chairs out and cracked a couple of guys that ran down the ramp and then Evolution backed off. But overall, it wasn't a bad segment. It's the only match that I'm invested in.
Well, I was going to bring it over to Miguel now, but I guess I got to give the chat room what they want. Wago, keep talking.
Okay, so I have a mallet, and it's like a gavel, but it's better because it's a mallet. And this mallet, I'm actually going to engrave at work, and I'm going to have depressing news right on it.
All right, Miguel.
Tonight, the role of Triple H will be played by John Laurinaitis. Nah, you know, to be fair, I zoned out through the segment. I mean, for the last few weeks, Triple H segments have kind of just been very blasé. They kind of just bleed into each other. So I wasn't paying attention to this segment too much. I did catch some of the stuff that was being said. I caught Dean Ambrose's bit. I completely zoned out on Seth Rollins' bit and came back around Roman Reigns's. But, I mean, I think the one thing you take away from this is it's been, what, 2 years now that the Shield have been around for the most part? And, well, okay, 1.5, not 2 years, where I will say that. But, I mean, these guys still to this day have been booked as the top guys. And the fact that they're headlining against what are arguably three of the biggest stars in the company, Triple H, Batista, and Orton, I think really shows a lot. And I think the fact that they are giving all these guys equal mic time, they're really showing off the skills of all these guys in the ring. These guys are going to be big stars coming out of this. I mean, these guys are going to be main eventers no matter what happens. I hope that once they get into their single spots that the WWE can keep up the momentum. But, I mean, these guys are bona fide, you know, show sellers, in my opinion. And I think this matchup is going to be the segment that really carries that over the most. Because I think Evolution's really going to put these guys over at the end of the day.
All right, so I got two questions I plucked out of the chat room earlier, both of them from a Mr. James Baelish. He asks first, what did you guys think of the Evolution promo video that we got there? Tony, why don't you go first?
All right. Well, I wasn't watching when Evolution was really full steam either. I know that you had mentioned that before. So that's something where there's no real, like, nostalgia factor for me. I do like Evolution, and I've, you know, since I've caught up and rewatched things from the past and everything, I probably would have been really into Evolution, and that might have actually even changed my opinions of Batista, because if I would have grown into the Batista character, maybe I would have been a bigger fan of him over these next past few years. The video package, it did its job, and it's okay that they're throwing that out there for it to really refresh the minds of the people, but I thought it was a little bit awkward seeing it because for the most part, you can tell that these guys have aged, and some of them have aged, you know, pretty good. I mean, you look at them now and they don't look like they're beat to hell or anything like that. But oddly enough, Triple H kind of looked like out of shape in the video.
Yeah, he was bloaty around then.
Right, and I thought that that was kind of awkward because it was just like, let's show you all the destruction that we did when Batista had hair and when Orton had hair and when Triple H had an extra 30 pounds and when Ric Flair just sort of popped up and flopped around like an idiot.
And glued once in a while.
Right. So that wasn't the strongest selling points doing that, but they needed to refresh the mind, so that's okay.
Miguel, what'd you think about that promo video that we got?
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to cough halfway through your introduction. First off, it made me realize how old I was because it dawned on me that it had been 10 years since Evolution had debuted. So I was like, man, I'm old. Because I actually was a fan when Evolution was around. I was still watching WWE around the 2004-2005 time slot. So I do remember strongly of when Evolution was kind of on top, and at one point they were one of my favorite acts. So to just think back that it's been 10 years basically since then, it's just – it's amazing. And you could tell in the case of those guys. I mean, Batista looks nothing like he does now. Orton looks like a kid in those videos, and Triple H obviously has hair. So, you know, it really was jarring. One thing I did notice – correct me if I'm wrong, but did it seem like they were going out of their way to edit the video so that you didn't see Ric Flair that much in the video?
I wasn't particularly looking for that, but it could be.
Yeah, I was like, all right, I know Flair is kind of on the outs with WWE in a way. Are they going to show him at any point? And I noticed that the way they were cutting it seemed like they were purposefully trying to cut Flair's bits out, that they were just trying to profile Orton, Batista, and Triple H, which I don't know. That can go either way in terms of how I feel about it. In terms of the actual bit, I mean, it was nice to see some of that old footage. It did nothing for the now. It didn't make me love or hate Evolution more now than it did beforehand. So it was in and out. You know, all it did was just make me feel old.
Awesome. Piano Man's backing you up. He did notice that there was a less amount of Ric Flair than you would have expected. But anyway, we got two callers in line. We appreciate your patience. Please just hold on for one more minute. We got one more panelist opinion to get here. It is the chat room's number one favorite this evening, apparently.
Yeah, I have fickle, no though. Fucking idea why.
they pick favorites different every week, so don't get too full of it. It's fleeting. But anyway, their favorite for tonight, Mr. Juego.
So, yeah, it was neat.
Can we make that a weekly segment, host of the week, where the fans get to choose who's the host of the week this week?
Don't encourage them.
Yeah, don't encourage them.
Make it a thing, chat room. That's going to be a new thing now, host of the week.
As far as the Evolution package goes, I thought it was well put together, though I didn't like the fact that they cut Ric Flair out. I understand, but he's not around right now, but it's part of the whole group, and it was the whole past, present, and future thing. It really, as far as Triple H, how he looked, I think it's more to do with the fact that he didn't have the beard back then, and when you look at him, it makes such a huge difference. Overall, great package, and it was nice having a bit of nostalgia to live back on.
Clearly, Big E's got the bigger package. I had to throw that out there.
Okay, that point.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, well, let's start bringing on these callers here. We got a caller from the 337 area code. Caller, tell us what's your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is the guy that got banned in the chat room.
You got banned?
Yeah, I totally got banned. They won't let me talk no more.
You muted him.
I got muted for so much Wago love. Thanks, Mega Powers Authority.
Oh, no, I didn't do that. You probably got muted for spamming so much. You were probably typing so much that it automatically muted you. I can't even mute people from this chat room I'm using. I have to open up the new window, which I'm way too lazy to do.
Hashtag Chris Stallman.
Don't hold down Daniel Bryan / Mr. Wago.
Whatever. I believe it unmutes you in like 10, 15 minutes or some crap like that. So just be patient.
My question is actually for Wago. Wago, if you could book WrestleMania. Wow. Someone fire JD / Miguel. If you could book WrestleMania for the next 10 years, who would you book in the main event for the next 10 years? Go.
CM Punk versus Dylan.
Please go on. Tell us more. Talk for 10 minutes, Wago.
Mallet on a pole match.
Can you really get those two, somebody like Dylan, to do anything on a pole?
I don't know. He spins that jacket around nice.
Why don't we just put a Dylan on a pole match?
No, you watch, man. That's what this is leading up to, the whole Torito-Dylan matchup. It's gonna be some type of pole match just because Vince is that vindictive.
I think the top rope is like high enough for him to have to reach.
You could do that tadpole splash. It's not that impossible.
Get a bunch of stepladders.
On a serious note, if I was going to do 10 years of WrestleMania 1 match, it would be just Cesaro swinging Hornswoggle around.
Every year for 10 years.
Yeah, for an hour every year, and see how far he can, like, how many rows he can throw him into.
Oh, I got unmuted.
Yeah, all right. You don't need to be on the phone anymore. Goodbye. No, I'm kidding. Joe, what did you think about Raw tonight, dude?
I thought whatever Wago thought. That was all I wanted. I wanted Wago to talk for 10 minutes. I'm good. Y'all have a good night. Good luck. Awesome Piano Man. Glad to have you back. Chat room rules.
All right. Well, another interesting caller here on the Raw Post Show. We got another person on the line here. Let's get them in. Caller from the 240 area code. You are live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hello, this is Jeff. I'm calling from Hagerstown.
Jeff, what's shaking, bro? What'd you think about Raw tonight?
Well, I kind of think they're, like, with Evolution, I don't think they should have gone with Evolution versus the Shield. Like, I thought, like, with WrestleMania, with how Batista and Orton had that triple threat with Daniel Bryan, that they would have gone, like, with another triple threat or something like that instead of doing Evolution versus the Shield. Because it didn't seem like it would really fit with Evolution versus the Shield. Like, I kind of thought it would be Triple H and Billy Gunn and Road Dogg versus the Shield more than Shield versus Evolution.
Well, let me ask you, don't you think this is very beneficial for the Shield, especially fresh into their babyface turn, to face three big, big names like they are with Evolution? And I would have to say that they're the favorites to probably come out of this with a victory. Don't you think that would really propel them to even bigger superstar than they already are?
Well, with that whole rumor that, like, with Roman Reigns being, like, supposedly going to get pushed up more, mm-hmm. I kind of thought they would have, like, somehow broken up the Shield by now and maybe have, like, them face each other or something, since supposedly that was the rumor going around that they were going to push Roman Reigns into more of a starting role than on his own, since hell of how he started this year and everything.
Well, you can never believe what you read in the dirt sheets, dude. Always got to take that stuff with a grain of salt. Plans change, and sometimes they're just plain wrong.
You kidding me? I believe everything scoops.com says. It's like Wikipedia.
Jeff, are you excited for Extreme Rules?
Well, the card looks okay. It's just, it doesn't seem that there are not that many Extreme Rules matches for Extreme Rules for you.
Yeah, it's weird from the pay-per-view that basically has stemmed as the thing we use to remember ECW. I'm not really getting an ECW feel about this.
Like, the only Extreme Rules match that it seems right now they have is the steel cage match with Cena and Wyatt.
Yeah, and really? There's only 1 week left, so they're really going to have to start packing that card in. Oh, man, once again, I'm feeling like I'm stretching to look into this notes I have here. And there's no big events from tonight's show. Miguel, go ahead.
I was going to say, to be fair, this pay-per-view does kind of feel like ECW, but it feels like ECW December to Dismember.
Exactly. All right, Jeff, what was your favorite part of Raw tonight? What was your least favorite part of Raw tonight?
Oh, I have to say my favorite part was the – well, I had two favorite parts. The one was the Wyatt beat down on Cena, mm-hmm. but and how he, like, the Wyatt Bray ended the show on that. He has the whole world in his hand thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also like the Kane beat down because that was kind of awesome, too. Seeing him just tombstone Brian like three times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess my least favorite part was probably like the whole Emma getting the snake cobra, like Pink's cobra thing and
oof.
And everything. And that whole match just came to seem like a waste of Raw space since they keep doing it over and over again.
Nothing different at all with this storyline with Santino and Emma. Same shtick over and over with seemingly no direction. So I don't know what hopes they have for that poor girl Emma, but apparently it's not very high.
I do have to say Paige is looking very well as a female wrestler there, and looks like actually she has more talent than most of the Diva roster they have right now.
I would absolutely be inclined to agree, and I think she is smoking, which is certainly an opinion I think a lot of people share. All right, Jeff, thanks for calling in, bro. We're going to return to the panel discussion on this. Great call tonight. We'll talk to you another time, bro.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good night, bro. All right, another good call here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Everyone out there listening, please feel free to call in. We're getting a good number of callers in. Let's keep the ball rolling with that. Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to get yourselves in line. You can also use the Skype icon at the top of the page if you prefer to use that. And, of course, the chat room is popping as always. Awesome Piano Man, Brian the Brain, Joseph Stallman, Vix, and our very own Stephen Huego keeping things popping heavy in there. I can't even keep up with the chat room right now. You guys just keep dropping more and more jokes. It's probably funnier than half the things I'm saying right now.
Nothing new there.
All right. So I had two questions I was pulling earlier from Mr. James Baelish, and I'll bring this other one up really quick. His other one is, who are you guys rooting for at Extreme Rules? Are you a Shield guy or are you an Evolution guy? Mm-hmm. And I'll answer that one first, and I'm going to go ahead and say I am 100% a Shield guy. I like Triple H. He was a guy I grew up with, but not with Evolution. I was a DX guy. Evolution was in that awkward period of when I was in high school and not watching wrestling at all because I was too cool for it, I guess, or whatever it was. So I don't really have any attachment to it. I mean, yeah, I like Triple H. I like Ric Flair. I like Batista and Randy Orton. But this unit itself has no meaning to me. Not in the 2004 sense, and even less so in a 2013 sense. So that's where I'll lay on that. Tony?
I'm 100% a Shield guy. However, I'm rooting for Evolution here. And that's
really?
Because I think that if you give the Shield the win here, there's nowhere to go. If you give it to Evolution, you have them screw the Shield out of the victory, you can drag this on for 2 to 3 more pay-per-views. And not just to drag it on, because obviously if you're dragging it just for the sake of it, that's not going to be good. But I think that people will still be really into it because they're going to want to see the Shield get some kind of a payback on them. And maybe you can build it up to a War Games match like everybody's saying. Maybe you just have 3 separate matches and you really put a lot of focus on each guy. I don't know what necessarily you can do, but I think you need to build a little bit more before you give Shield the victory.
Wago?
I am a Shield guy, but I'm with Tony where I think Evolution needs the win. All 3 guys are coming off losses at WrestleMania, while the Shield won't really take much damage in a defeat. So if you give the Evolution the win via dastardly means, even if it's a Ric Flair returning since people want him back in the fold, I think from there on in you can build the feud all the way up to SummerSlam and have the blow off there.
Miguel?
I'm rooting for the Shield. I hate to sound like JD, but I'm just sick and tired of the whole Orton-Batista dynamic and Triple H as well. I think they've just – I like them as I'm big fans of theirs going back to when they were first in Evolution, but I'm bored. I need something new. So, you know, I'm going to root for the Hounds of Justice. You know, I think those guys still have a lot of heat going for them. I haven't gotten tired of their shtick yet. Now that they're baby faces, it seems like they've been completely reinvented. So I want to see where this goes. I mean, my only real issue is if they come out of this on top, where do they go from here except splitting? I mean, once you beat Triple H, you know, the COO, there's no real other place you can go except for maybe getting the WWE title and maybe going Freebird with it.
I think there is some serious unfinished business with the Wyatt family, actually.
You think that there's still money in that?
Oh, absolutely.
I guess that's an angle to go towards. I guess you're right on that regard.
I mean, that was so rushed and happened so quickly, and I think they need to have something that's much bigger than just a regular 3-on-3 match. They I'm not saying war games, but some type of thing that has more of a warfare feel to it.
Maybe another TLC matchup, or maybe a 6-man cell match?
Sure. Yeah, either of those could work.
Mallet on a pole? I'm just saying.
Dylan on a pole match, perhaps. Let's move on then to the next matchup we had. It was a tag team match featuring the tag team champions, the Usos and the Brotherhood, Cody Rhodes and Goldust. We were fortunate to have Ryback on commentary. The Usos get the victory on this. Cody Rhodes, not happy with the Usos getting that victory, begins to show his frustration, pushing Goldust away and walking out, allowing Rybacksel to attack the Usos while they had their backs turned toward them. Things certainly heating up even more so in the tag division. I'm happy to see that. Rybacksel, I don't know if it's a team I'm certainly going to get behind that all that much, but that's okay. I think they're a filler tag team we could have go against the Usos for Extreme Rules, since, as we were saying before, this is a filler pay-per-view. However, I think the big thing that we're seeing is finally the split of the Brotherhood, and we may finally see that Rhodes versus Rhodes matchup. Hard to believe, though, that Cody is going to be the heel going into it from what we're seeing, although I guess that remains to happen. But go around and get your guys' opinions on that. Wago?
I really don't care for this feud, and I think it's like they was halfway in, but it looked like they was going to do it towards WrestleMania, and then that never amounted to anything. And now they've been so far out of the product that I really have no idea when they last wrestled outside of this tag match. So it's just seeing, I'm glad they're doing something with them. It's just they've had no build to it for so long now that it's lackluster to me. I don't really care. As far as this tag match goes, it was pretty good, and I enjoyed the ending of it. And Roy Baxel on commentary was unique.
Actually, I have a note about that, but I'll do that when we come back around. Tony, what'd you think about our tag match up here?
This actually was part of the night where I started just kind of like doing other things and not paying attention to Raw. So I actually didn't even know that they teased a split between the two of them at all. That's
wow.
How much,
you missed it. We've been waiting for this for so long and you missed it.
I completely missed it. I heard Ryback spit a bunch of nonsense on commentary. And
you know what the crazy thing is that I called it when they were coming out too, because I thought it was really weird that they were facing the Usos, which of course would be a babyface on babyface setup. Why else would you do that if there wasn't something funky that was going to happen there?
And I didn't even think twice about it. It was just kind of like, what's the match happening now? It's these guys. All right, well, Usos are going to win. And I'm not going to listen to this crap that Ryback is saying. Like,
why would you think, you know, Brotherhood, a babyface tag team, would be just so uneventfully fed to the Usos?
Wait,
right,
didn't they win a number one contenders matchup a couple weeks back? I think maybe on either a SmackDown or a main event. I remember hearing something about that.
Maybe it like disappeared the same way that Christian's number one contendership thing.
If it isn't a tournament, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, besides, every match they announce for a SmackDown or main event, they end up redoing, like changing up anyway. So fuck if they're going to remember the actual stipulations of them.
I don't like the idea that they're materializing this feud now. I mean, everybody kind of wanted to see it at WrestleMania and nowhere else. And if we get it for like Payback, who the fuck's going to care?
Miguel, what'd you think about the tag match?
tag match itself was fine, but it's kind of lather, rinse, repeat in terms of the Brotherhood versus the Usos. I mean, they had a great matchup. They always have a great matchup, so I can't really see anything new about it. In terms of Ryback and Curtis Axel on commentary, I didn't even notice the difference between either one. I was kind of doing stuff on the computer at the time, so to me it was just like some type of white noise. You know, one person would say something, another person would say the other, and it was all interchangeable nonsense. It was just nothing. In terms of the Brotherhood split, 3 or 4 months too late. I think people were expecting this at WrestleMania as kind of maybe like a farewell matchup to Goldust, you know, maybe do like a whole build up to that. I think now that season has passed, I think people just don't care anymore. And even if they do this matchup, even if they were to extend this all the way out to SummerSlam and give it, you know, somewhat of a bigger feel, it doesn't really matter. They've been in the WWE for too long as is. The bloom is off the rose. So I think it's fine that they're finally doing something different with those guys, but I want to care more than I do, and I don't.
I want to pull a comment from VixVixVix in the chat room. He asks, why was Ryback so polite on commentary?
I don't know why Ryback does anything. Ryback just kind of like, he just does things just because. You know,
because Ryback rules.
Ryback's all rules.
Maybe it's like the opposite at Snickers commercial where they say you're not acting like yourself because you're hungry. Maybe when Ryback's really, really hungry, he needs the Snickers and he becomes really like polite instead of being like
maybe he was fed.
Yeah, like maybe that's it. Yeah.
Maybe he stuffed his face before they came in. Maybe catering actually brought some good soup and not that gazpacho crap.
He actually got well fed.
Maybe those guys, sorry, go on.
Yeah, man, he doesn't have to say a few more. He's like, I'm not all that hungry, thank you.
Maybe those people he was bullying backstage, he's just eating now.
He's like, feed me. You know what? Never mind.
Actually, can I get a doggy bag?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. Thank you.
Feed me no more.
Yeah,
cut carbs out. Can you just, yeah.
Yeah, can I get a roll of Tums or something? Maybe some Pepto-Bismol?
It's bad that we're having more fun doing this than watching that match.
Yeah, indeed. All right, we got a caller on the line. I believe this is Joseph Stallman calling in once again. What's this Joker got to say now? Joe?
This is Awesome Piano Man.
Oh, Awesome Piano Man. I'm
sorry we insulted you by calling you that other guy.
Oh, that's not what
you say. Your name's Miguel, so no
Sorry, Awesome Piano Man. No, wait, you're Joe. I know that voice.
It's No, it is not. This is Awesome Piano Man.
All right.
Awesome Piano Man would like to say that no one noticed that they called Randy Orton Cream Puff. Did nobody get? I mean, like, he just called him a fag on air twice, but nobody said anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's better than Butt Boys, I guess.
Well, I know, but when he said it, even Randy Orton was like, kind of like, oh shit! Like, I figured somebody was gonna get in trouble for that.
I did think that was a little taboo compared to what you usually would hear them use to call each other names.
Most definitely.
You just called in to tell us about the cream puff?
Well, that and Miguel's a cream puff. Wago said so.
I did?
Well, it must be true then.
Wago.
It sounds like something I say, but okay.
It's a Wagoism, okay? Chill out. That's it. Thank you. Appreciate it. This has been Awesome Piano Man.
Signing off. Oh, my goodness. Hashtag thumbs down. I don't remember where the heck I left off. I actually do have a question submitted from the real Awesome Piano Man. That's his Twitter handle, the real Awesome Piano Man. His question is, of all the NXT debuts of the last few weeks and the ones to come in the next few weeks, who do you think is going to be the most impactful? So this is a quick rundown of the people we got. We have Alexander Rusev, Paige, Bo Dallas, Adam Rose. I feel like there's maybe even somebody I'm missing. A lot of new fresh faces coming up. I'm excited for these times. Go around and ask you guys, who do you think is going to be the most significant though? Tony?
I want to say Bo Dallas. I actually think Adam Rose.
Mm.
And I really kind of don't know why. I've been like trying to figure out why certain people will fit in like certain spots and everything. And there's just something about it that's making me think Adam Rose is going to end up getting over more.
His character is so fucking awesome. Like, it's my favorite character I've seen since they got Bray Wyatt on the scene. His biggest detraction, I think, is going to be the fact that his finisher sucks.
Adam Rose's?
Yeah.
What is his finisher?
It's like a twirling clothesline. It's really, really lame.
Kind of like, what's his name's, I can think of Axel, like that kind of thing. Like just spin around and do something, and you're supposed to just get pinned because of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really boring, generic, lame finisher, and no one's gonna pop for it. If he can get a more exciting finisher, I think he's gonna be a total package. I love the character. I love the way he speaks with the accent. I love the entrance. I love the music. I love the catchy whoa 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 ho ho. I think that's gonna catch on huge. So I would agree. I think that's going to be certainly a big player going forward. Wago, who do you think is going to be the most significant, though?
Paige. I think Bo Dallas is going to have a hard time finding his place when he first comes in, because whilst there's 3 hours of Raw, there's only so many interesting storylines that WWE puts forwards into. So I think he's going to get lost in the shuffle, and so same goes for Adam Rose. Rusev's going to be fine as long as they're still high on him and giving him squash matches. Though I think he's eventually going to fizzle out too. So I think as far as people who've got longevity, it goes to Paige.
Miguel?
You know what? The smart in me wants to say Bo Dallas just because I really dig those Bo Leave promos. But I'm going to say in terms of the male performers, I think Bo Dallas does have the most potential, because to me, Rusev just seems like one of those guys that as soon as WWE even drops any sort of attention towards him, he's going to end up being a comedy character with Santino, and I think I might have said that before. Adam Rose, to me, is too one-dimensional. He might end up in that comedy character, one-note joke kind of setup. Who else is on there in terms of male performers? Let's see, Adam Rose, Bo Dallas, Alexander Rusev.
That's really about it.
In terms of those, in terms of overall NXT people coming up, Paige, to me, is probably the most well-rounded. I mean, she's not one note. They haven't given her a silly gimmick that's going to get old fast. She just basically came in and won the title, and I think she has enough potential, at least especially after tonight, where they actually gave her a chance to show off her abilities in the ring, to where I think she's really going to be a huge star going forward, more so than I think any of the other guys, with the exception of Bo Dallas. But like I said, unless his character really catches on, it's going to be a rough going for him.
In the short term, I'm going to have to say that Rusev is going to be the most impactful. But in the long term, two things I want to consider. Paige, I think we're going to look back and seeing as her being the person who, I don't want to use the word save, but certainly kept it the Divas Division alive through this time period. Because as far as we know, AJ is on sabbatical now. She's going to be in the same place that Punk is. So unless that's a work too. Oh, wait, no, she's fighting at Extreme Rules, right? Anybody know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the fuck's going on with that situation.
Do you talk Paige, you mean?
Yeah. No, AJ Lee. She's fighting Paige at Extreme Rules.
No, Tamina.
No, Tamina is.
Oh, she's fighting Tamina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so maybe AJ Lee is gone. I don't know what the heck's going on there. Are you thinking the Alexander Rose team?
Alexander Rose? You mean Adam Rose?
Adam Rose.
The moment you said that hook, man, it gets in your head. I'll admit that might be the one thing that might get Adam Rose over is that hook.
And you know what the sad thing is? The very first week he came out, it was with a different song that was actually better, but it was some like licensed song, so they couldn't keep using it.
What was it called? I might have to find that song.
Oh, I don't remember. It's from some new band, some newfangled band that the kids are listening to.
I'll have to look it up.
But it was pretty cool. I remember the first time I saw that entrance, I just flipped out. It was amazing. And then when they had this new song come out, I was like, oh, it's different. I don't like it, but it's growing on me. I definitely think it's going to be something the crowd sings along with them in the future. But as I was saying, also, as far as the male performers go, I think the long-term person is going to be Bo Dallas. I don't think he's going to grow to be any kind of main event player, but I think he can certainly be a solid mid-card guy, someone who could carry the Intercontinental title division for a number of years.
Yeah, if he can just work on like not being fucking ugly, that'd be great.
Just get a blue dot in his face whenever he's wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the technology where we can have it move around fast enough, right? We got that.
Yeah, continue with Christian.
Let's see. We had our first of two Divas matches this evening. Seems like we're getting a lot of double Divas matches lately. This one was between Layla, the new love interest of Fandango, and Emma. And this was a complete waste of time. Emma wins, not with the Emma lock, but with her cobra of her own, a pink cobra she pulls out of her boots, hits Layla with it, goes for the pin. Her and Santino continue being awkward, and that was that. I don't know what Emma's deal is. I don't know who her major opponent is. And that's that. So, Tony.
Man. Layla's not working out with Fandango, and Emma's just not working out. This is just terrible.
That's it?
I can't really express how stupid this is. This is just bad.
One of the worst debuts they've had of this NXT generation, I have to say. If not the absolute worst.
You know what? Maybe I would be okay with Emma if she wasn't playing that character and doing that little dance.
Oh, no.
Thing.
You know what? I have nothing against Emma the girl. I think she can be an excellent performer. She's kind of cute, I guess, but the character and the whole package and the story that they're doing with here, just dumb.
Are you not Emma-tained?
That annoying song that they have her coming out to and the bubbles and stuff. I mean, it almost sort of feels to me like they took some things that should have gone with Bailey and gave it to Emma.
Mm.
Like, I could see Bailey coming out with the little...
Yeah, because she's supposed to be like the spaz chick, right?
Right.
Like, make way more sense for her.
Have her come out and do the little thing with the bubbles, and maybe that would get over better because she's tolerable and Emma's just fucking annoying. I don't know. Hated it.
Wago?
Couldn't give a fuck.
Miguel?
And the match begins, and it's gone.
All right, so is the discussion about it.
I will say this, though. I do appreciate Layla's new ring attire. It made me realize how much she could give Naomi a run for her money, if you get my drift. I don't know. Emma, you know what? Emma, to me, seems like somebody that would be great as, like, the dopey sidekick for, like, a heel. You know, like she seems like she's in the spot that, like, Jillian Hall was for JBL. Like, they need to find, like, a really or like the one that AJ was in with Daniel Bryan when he was a heel. Like, Emma could fit that better, fit in a role much better in that than just as comedy sidekick for Santino, because he's a babyface. Why does he need a girl, you know?
Because he's always had a girl.
Always? Really?
He's had, like, mad girls, man. He's had, like, Maria. He had Beth Phoenix. I'm sure there's people I'm forgetting.
Well, we see how it did for their careers. They're not in the WWE anymore.
He had Tamina for a little bit, I think.
Really? I forgot about that.
That was a quick one.
Yeah, I think they did do that for a hot minute when she first came on the scene.
Yeah, I think that Emma would do just fine maybe with, like, a reluctant heel. Like, find somebody on the roster, like... I can't even think of a brash heel that they could put her with, though. Like, almost like a JBL type or something. I can't think of anybody on the roster right now, but I don't know. It just seems like they're biding time until they figure out what to do with her.
Well, I'm not buying it, but hey, let's move on to something more interesting. We had Cesaro coming out with new theme music, which was awkward in my opinion. It had these air raid sirens and was just this generic metal music. I don't know. It didn't fit for me. I feel like they completely missed the mark.
You know whose theme it reminded me of? Does anybody remember Perry Saturn's theme when he first came into the WWE? Because it had the same air raid kind of starting sound to it.
That fits Saturn. That fits Saturn. It does not fit Cesaro, especially at this point. When he comes out with this sparkly jacket with Paul Heyman, the package just does not mesh. I don't know. That's my opinion about it anyway. Paul Heyman comes out first, constantly repeating that Brock Lesnar conquered the streak to the point where they actually just randomly cut to commercial in the middle of when he was talking with no warning whatsoever. I thought someone made a mistake at first.
I thought my TV broke.
Surprise. Yeah, I was like, what? What happened? Where'd my feed go? Bring back Raw. What the fuck? Then when they came back from commercial, he was still just repeating that Brock Lesnar conquered the streak over and over. I was like, oh, okay. I get what they did there. That was funny. Cesaro faced RVD in the second matchup we had for the number one contenders for the Intercontinental title tournament. Cesaro, unfortunately, though, not coming out victorious at this. Swagger comes out to distract him, allowing RVD to get the victory via count out. Cesaro tries to get his revenge by swinging Zeb Coulter, but Jack Swagger comes to the save ending up getting swung himself, though. And that continues and sets up a match for them, I would suppose, for Extreme Rules. And where Cesaro goes after that, I don't know. I'm sure we will see a title in his future. But for now, he is out of the tournament. And our finals is going to be RVD versus Bad News Barrett. So go around and get your guys' opinions about all this that went down here. I mean, I guess we have a few things we could talk about. Cesaro's new music, Paul Heyman's little shtick that he did there, the actual matchup between him and RVD, the development between Cesaro and Jack Swagger. Take around all you guys. Miguel, start us off.
I have a lot to say about this. First off, like I said before, I can name one point in the show where the show pretty much fell off a cliff, and it was this entire segment to me was just a disaster. I mean, first off, the whole cutting off Paul Heyman's promo halfway through it was just annoying as is. I mean, yeah, Paul Heyman is kind of, and I'll talk about that in a bit, his shtick has kind of gotten old, but he's still one of the better talkers in the WWE right now. So to me, it just seemed like really a waste to kind of cut him off. Having said that, though, I'm starting to realize a big problem with putting him with Cesaro, and it's that a manager is supposed to get heat on the person he's managing, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Is it correct to assume that?
Yes.
Unfortunately, what Paul Heyman's doing is he seems to be focusing more on getting more heat on Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And then maybe the having that rub off onto Cesaro. He never talks about Cesaro with the exception of maybe mentioning the whole King of Swing thing. It's mostly my client, Brock Lesnar, conquered the streak. Lather, rinse, repeat. And I'm sitting there and I'm typing in the chat. I'm like, all right, we're done talking about Brock. Well, talk about the guy in the ring. Talk about Cesaro.
Let me ask you, Miguel, you don't think that's going somewhere?
If it's not to build up Cesaro, I don't know where it's going to go. I mean, I don't see where it's going to go except maybe a Brock Lesnar and Antonio Cesaro matchup, which I don't know. That might seem a bit odd. That might work, but it just irritates me. I want to care about Cesaro. I don't care about Brock Lesnar anymore. Not until they have a plan with him. Otherwise, you're Cesaro's manager. Focus on Cesaro. You know, I'm really digging the Cesaro babyface turn, but they really got to push it forward somehow better. And Paul Heyman's just not doing it for me.
Well, here's my response to that. The breaking of the streak is a very, very big deal. And we should not downplay that whatsoever. I think them taking every opportunity to mention that is completely worth it. Especially since Brock Lesnar is a limited appearance guy, they need to keep that in people's memory and keep the heat on it. So Paul Heyman reminding them of it that often, very, very smart. And what I think they're doing with this is, if you notice, Paul Heyman is getting all that heat, but he's not necessarily swapping it over onto Cesaro that much. As you're saying, Cesaro is staying very much in the crowd's favor. I mean, you're seeing those Cesaro section signs. The crowd is cheering for him. He's playing to them along with the moves that he's doing in the ring. So the back and forth of that is very weird, where you have the heel manager and the babyface performer. And I think what we're eventually going to see is the crowd cheering Cesaro to the point where he's like, wait, why am I with this manager who's not even giving me the attention I deserve when the crowd is? And that'll eventually allow Cesaro to separate and be an even bigger star because of the whole experience he went through.
I'll believe it when they show a divide between Heyman and Cesaro. When they start showing tension between them, that's when it'll make more sense to me.
Well,
right now,
give it time. They just got together.
All right.
They gotta have a happy relationship before they can get rocky.
I get it, and you might be right. I might have to give it more time, which is something that the show didn't give that matchup. The fact that they not only cut off Heyman during a promo for a commercial, but the fact that they gave us another commercial cut halfway through the matchup really just frustrated me to the point where I was pretty much done with the night. But in terms of the match itself, did anybody but me notice that the matchup was a little bit sloppy?
RVD especially, I noticed, was pretty sloppy.
Yeah, it felt like just everything in that matchup was just a second off. Like, their timing just wasn't quite right, which is really sad because this is the matchup I was looking forward to the most. I really thought a Cesaro, Heyman, RVD feud, given the history between those guys, really had a lot of legs and could maybe take them into the next two or three pay-per-views. But I don't think that's where they're going because they didn't play off it at all. Maybe down the line you might see it, but it seems like their big thing is Swagger versus Cesaro, which, I mean, I thought the build-up towards the end was fine, but this whole matchup was – this whole setup, this whole bit was just too much of a cluster, and it was hard for me to rebound after that.
All right, Tony, what was your opinions throughout this whole shtick that we had? Like I said, there's like five things of points we can touch on here.
Cesaro's theme music does not fit him at all, and it's really a shame because he – I mean, I wanted him to have music really badly. I didn't want him to come out with just Paul Heyman, especially if they're just going to keep doing the repeating thing, which I don't like at all. I don't think it's doing anything with this whole the streak thing. I don't think that's the way to go about it. I think they're running that into the ground. Cesaro versus Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania. That's going to happen. Either that or SummerSlam. But I would wager more so WrestleMania. Let's see. Theme song. As far as the tournament goes, that was something that I called last week. I knew that that's how they had to do it. A lot of people were expecting Cesaro to win the IC title. But to me, that wouldn't have it wouldn't have been the right time for it. He needs to do that after they figure out what they want to do for him. Giving him the IC title right now would end up just hurting Cesaro because they would end up having to have him lose matches to kind of get contenders out, and they don't want you to have him do that. That's why he lost tonight with a cheap count-out thing instead. RVD, god damn it. Man, I just don't like RVD. And that stupid backstage segment that they did, one of the worst things that we had talked about before, where RVD does nothing but that stupid RVD.
My goodness.
And I swear the freaking thing is, are you talking about me? And his response is to do the RVD thing again. That doesn't answer the question. You're just pointing at yourself. God damn it. Cesaro almost dropped RVD on his head when he did that one powerbomb. Mm-hmm. And that looked pretty bad. That was just, you know, then it happens every once in a while. It's not like, oh, Cesaro is just a dangerous guy in the ring or anything like that. Just a regular kind of segment that ended the way that I expected it to and did exactly what I expected it to do. And I could have skipped it and it wouldn't have mattered.
Mm. Wago, what'd you think about this whole shtick?
As far as Cesaro's music goes, it's fucking atrocious, but at the same time, between the glittery jacket and his babyface alignment with Paul Heyman, I wouldn't know what theme to give him. So I can't fault WWE too much. Hopefully it's going to be one of those situations where he has a theme for a few weeks and then they change it up again. Hopefully not as much as they change Wade Barrett's, but I'm hoping they find something for him better. As far as this match goes, clunky as hell, and I just could not get into it. The best match of the night was definitely Sheamus versus Wade Barrett, so wasn't really into this, wasn't really into Paul Heyman's promo either, so I was just kind of down on this whole segment.
Shat on the whole thing, then.
Yeah, I just shat on the whole thing, because Wago don't give no fucks.
Wow, we're in the final 20 minutes of the show, so let's zoom through these other things here. We had our second Divas match of the night, Oksana versus Paige, basically just an exhibition for our new Divas champion to go out there, work a few minutes, and put on her finishing move, which I guess is officially titled the Modified Scorpion Crosslock. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Really need to find a better name for that finisher.
Wasn't it the Paige Turner, or was that something else?
No, that's that swinging move that she does. That's the Paige Turner.
Oh.
What a dumb thing for Cole to say. She calls this the modified name of move what it is. That's so freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, I think eventually they'll come up with something more. They kind of like how they used to call it the LaBelle Lock, and then they finally found a gimmicky name for it. I'm sure eventually they'll come up with something for her. Awesome move, though, and it certainly deserves a better name. You know, if it was just some random move, you can call it by its whatever normal
name. How about the web page?
So, Tony, what did you think about this Divas match?
I laughed at that, but I was sitting here thinking about like other Paige puns, and I couldn't think of anything. This was another terrible segment. We already saw her face Oksana on, I think it was SmackDown. It might have been Raw, or it might have been Main Event or something. I don't know. If it was SmackDown, then of course they just redid it because SmackDown's terrible.
Are you sure it wasn't Cinemax?
It might have been. God. This is Oksana is garbage, and she really doesn't deserve to have a job there. The only one who is worse on the roster than her is Rosa Mendez. So whatever they're doing to keep their job, hey, Divas, pay attention because it's working.
You put Eva Marie ahead of them?
You know what? At this point, I would because she hasn't wrestled a whole lot, so she's got at least a little bit of room to improve.
Well, at least she has heat.
Right. And Oksana's been around long enough that she should have picked up something, and she hasn't. Same thing with Rosa Mendez, who wrestles, what, like twice a year? But Oksana is not somebody you throw out there if you want to actually have a decent or even bad match. If you want to have a horrible match, then you can. And she pulled that off, so congrats for sticking true to your roots. Her entrance theme is awkward, and the only way it would be worse is if she was given Cesaro's. Paige looks good doing that Scorpion crosslock thing, and that's going to get her over pretty well. Beating Oksana is not.
Wago, your thoughts about our Divas match here?
Didn't watch.
All right, Miguel.
I watched back and forth. I didn't really watch the whole thing. I was happy that they gave her more of an offense than they had these last few weeks. I was complaining that they've been just making her seem like the weak babyface that kind of just edges out a win for out of the blue. So the fact that they gave her almost the closest they could give to an old school squash matchup, I think, is a nice touch. Hopefully that'll be enough to really get her over when she takes on Tamina. Honestly, given what they say about her work rate, I'm actually kind of excited to see the Tamina Paige matchup. I think those two can have a decent matchup if you give them enough time. So let's see where it goes from here. It's a good enough build, although a bit late in the case of Paige, but you know, it's something.
All right. Move on to our next one, which was also pretty much just a short exhibition match. It was Alexander Rusev versus Sin Cara. Lana, I gotta say, I'm liking her more and more each week, and Alexander Rusev himself I'm liking more and more each week. I'm excited to once again see him eventually move into real matches and see what he has there. But as far as what we're seeing here, I like his character. I'm liking his entrance more and more, that little fucking ritual thing that he does where he gets down on his knees and then hops up and moves his arm in whatever ways he's doing. It's very kung fu-ish, which is kind of neat to see a guy with his build. His body shape is just so massive. I mean, those thighs are enormous. What did he say? He practiced judo or Muay Thai? What did he practice? Anyone know?
No one? I didn't even hear them say that.
He practiced some kind of martial art. I don't know. And Lana's legs, too. Holy shit, did her legs look fucking good tonight. I don't know if I just didn't notice before or if she's just been working out on them the past few weeks, but her legs look fantastic.
I did actually notice that specifically tonight. So there must have been, I don't know, the cut of her outfit or something. But
maybe they oiled them more or something. I don't know.
But maybe.
Hey, baby oil is illegal.
Now that Summer Rae is not as regular on Raw, I think Lana is the contender for best legs right now. So at least she's got something going for her. Alexander Rusev basically squashing Sin Cara here, making him submit with the accolade. And Rusev continues his dominance. One thing I thought was cool that I'm starting to notice with Lana is when she first comes out, she speaks in Bulgarian, and whenever she's speaking in Bulgarian, she's got this big happy-go-lucky smile on her, and then suddenly she turns serious face when she goes English. People of America lies. I like it. I like this package. Wago's going to shit on it, but I like it. So, Wago, why don't you go ahead?
So, fuck Rusev, fuck Lana, fuck this match, and all hail Sin Cara.
He's still celebrating that random Raw victory that he got over Alberto Del Rio
a
few months ago.
I still actually look back on that and fucking salivate over it. I'm like, Sin Cara is still my favorite wrestler.
Oh, Tony, go ahead.
You know what really sucks about this? We're going to get a handicap match at Extreme Rules. They're going to do R-Truth and Xavier Woods against Alexander Rusev. I don't want to see that. Rusev's kind of interesting. I think he needs more to him right now for me to really get into him. And I'm liking Lana more and more, so that's good. But they are going to need to do more than what they're doing right now. And just having him come out and beat people who don't matter and have Lana do that crush him thing, that's going to get tiresome really fast if every match has to end with him squashing somebody by looking at Lana and being like, do I have permission to win now? And doing that. He's so awkward shaped, though. He reminds me of Big E. Like, those two should feud or be a tag team or just merge into the same guy or something.
You know what my friend said Rusev looks like? He looks like a potato.
He does look like a fucking potato.
I can see it.
He moves around like one, at least.
Sadly, I think he's not going to go that far in WWE. I think he's impressive. He's impressive enough looking, and he's got a lot of power behind him. But,
you know, I just wish people would give him more of a chance. I think way too many people are just writing him off as another freaking Kozlov, and he's so different than Kozlov. Yes, it's another Russian character, but, you know, those aren't as common as they were back in the day. I mean, I know the whole Russian being our enemy thing. Actually, they are developing more of being our enemy again. But, I mean, you go back to the 80s or in the Cold War era, there were so many Russian characters. You know, there's Ivan Koloff, freaking, who was the guy with the Iron Sheik?
Ivan Putski.
There's a bunch of them. I can't remember because they all freaking sound the same, not to sound racist. But I think it's time for us to get another character like that. And I think Rusev is a perfect guy for this situation that we're in right now. So I think there's potential there. That's me. Yeah. Miguel, why don't you take over?
I don't hate Rusev. I think the problem is we've been so inundated with monster characters. I mean, you know, a year and a half ago, we had the whole buildup of Ryback that really led to nothing. I think people are just tired of it, especially because, like I said before, in the case of Ryback, that really didn't go anywhere. So I think people are just kind of like, all right, when is WWE going to get bored with this guy? And when is he going to start jobbing out to, you know, your ADRs and your Mrs. and whatnot, you know, guys like that. In terms of now, it is what it is. I want to see him actually have a real opponent, like a real upper mid card guy that he can really throw down with to really show his stuff. I do admit he is really lumpy looking. Like, I think what's weird about him is he's not evenly shaped. Like, mm-hmm. He has like his chest isn't as developed, but he's got these big shoulders and this wide midsection, but no real abs. Like, it seems like he's just like he's spot conditions. Like, he doesn't work everything on his body, which just looks bizarre.
I think unique looks in WWEs are like the best thing you can have. I don't like everyone looking the same, so that's one of the things that I don't hold against him.
Oh, I agree. I like I said, I just, to me, he needs to prove himself. He hasn't proved himself yet. I think he needs a real feud to work with. I will say one funny thing that I noticed during this segment. I muted Lana because I can't stand her voice, so I was just watching her do her thing. And I don't know what it was. I think it was the background that they used, like some type of weird, like pixelated background on the Titantron. But it was causing a weird distortion effect with her like outline on her clothing and stuff like that. So for like a split second, I honestly thought they CGI'd Lana onto the stage. Like, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, wait a minute. Her outline looks pixelated. Is she there? Did they like CGI her like hologram or something?
Did they like that Tupac thing they did at that one concert?
Yeah, It was freaking me out until they switched over to Rusev's Titantron, and then her outline thinned out again because I guess it's the weird pixelation thing they used in the background that was just making it hard. I guess the HD cameras weren't picking up on it right. But as far as the matchup, it is what it is. I mean, like I said, I'm waiting for an actual opponent.
Well, here's an interesting production note. Brian the Brain actually pointed this out. Notice that there were no Sin Cara lights tonight. I guess Rusev overpowers that too.
Good. I'm tired of the Sin Cara lights. You know, if Sin Cara really mattered anymore, the lights would be fine, but he doesn't matter anymore, so why do it? You know? It's like Zack Ryder making his hair. He doesn't care anymore, so why should he care about his hair? Like we don't care about Sin Cara, so screw the lights.
All right, guys. So we got one last thing to talk about here, and that was our main event. It was John Cena, who opponent was to be decided via the WWE app poll, which was either against 1, Luke Harper alone, 2, the team of Luke Harper and the other guy,
Eric Rowan,
Eric Rowan, or 3, all 3 members of the Wyatt family. And of course, the poll was chosen as all 3 members, although surprisingly, it wasn't that much more than just Luke Harper by himself. Surprisingly, only like, I think, 6% chose both Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
It makes you realize how much people hate Eric Rowan.
Absolutely. And actually, how many people actually do like Luke Harper?
I think he could be a future like WWE incarnation of like a Bruiser Brody kind of character.
Well,
just
that's
like,
totally exactly what his deal is.
Yeah, wild hair, just brawler, just beating people up. Like, they have him under the whole like dirty redneck thing, but you can clean him up just a little bit, and he could be, you know, marketable.
The biggest question is, how much do I have to pay you to lick his shirt?
No, I've been singing his praises for a long time. I'm thinking he's going to be the breakout star of the Wyatt, just as I thought Roman Reigns was going to be the breakout star of the Shield. So we'll see how that plays out throughout the next year. This match was pretty unimportant. We didn't even get a real winner. It ended in a schmoz when all three Wyatt members charged inside the ring. And, gosh, what the hell happened? They eventually just beat him down. Bray Wyatt cradled John Cena while singing. He's got the whole world in his hands. And we went out with the sheet mask screaming at the screen. And that was the final segment of Raw. It was pretty awkward, and I don't think it really necessarily excited me anymore for this feud. As a matter of fact, I think it turned me off to it. And a feud that, honestly, at first I was strongly against, but finally won me over, and now I'm tuning out again. Well, bring it back to you, Tony.
I liked how they made this a total anti-John Cena thing, but man, did they end that awkwardly. That really just was a horrible way to end this episode of Raw. You can't do Paul Heyman coming out week after week, repeating the same thing over and over and trying to get a response from the crowd, and then just saying, you know what, let's just apply that to somebody else. They already are chanting along with that. Let's just have him sing that for like 20 minutes. I didn't like that at all. And I really couldn't care less about this match that they had. Glad to see that all three were chosen, and it's cool that they are so into Luke Harper, because Jesus, they might as well have just called this like the Luke Harper poll. It was more than obvious that they're fond of him. But hell, why not? Because he's doing damn good in these matches, so that's good. The feud is no better or worse going into Extreme Rules from this, I think. And that's obviously not their goal. They really want that to go up and up and up as time goes on. This didn't help it at all.
Wago?
I did not like any of this fucking match. One, I think it's ridiculous that you can't just give the Wyatts the win. I mean, it's 3-on-1. It's not going to hurt Cena whatsoever. And I'm still not 100% sure that Bray Wyatt's going to beat him in Extreme Rules. So any win that he can get on Cena is going to be best. So, after the shitty match and the awkward finish, he went off singing. He's got the whole world in his hands. And it was just long and awkward. That's pretty much the majority of their feud since WrestleMania. Long and awkward.
That could be the whole description of tonight's Raw.
Oh, Miguel, what'd you think about our main event?
It was what it was. It kind of felt like almost a repeat of the matchup we got for WrestleMania in a way. I think that's the problem with this feud, is that it's gone on a bit too long for what it is. I really think that – I know why they're doing it like this, because they wanted Cena to get the big win at WrestleMania, but they wanted to give Bray the pickup win, which is fine. But I don't know. I think the shenanigans between these two are starting to kind of wear thin in a way. I like Bray. I think he's a great mic worker. But I think my biggest problem is that it feels forced now. Like you said with what Wago said, they caught on to the fact that people like singing with the Wyatts, and now they're going to shove it down our throat. And I think that's the death of any good gimmick when WWE latches onto it, because they push it like crazy. We saw it, for a good example, the Fandangoing thing, you know, when that started to catch on, it started off really organic, and then WWE shoved it down our throats and people stopped doing it, you know, because they knew that that's what WWE wanted. It felt too forced, and I really didn't like that, and I think that's what really turned me off. And that ending, like I said, just went one way too long. It was just really awkward.
I want to pull something out of the chat room here. Joseph Stallman making a really good point. If the crowd would have been into it, singing and waving their hands, then this would have probably been a great ending. And I agree. And it actually brings up something I was thinking in my head. If they were in a smarkier town, like if they were at the Garden, doing this whole, you know, the crowd hates you, John Cena, and they're starting to move to me, I think that would have been a lot more effective, as opposed to where they were kind of into Bray Wyatt, but there was still not as much support for him as there would have been to really make this be driven home.
I think that's always been a fault of WWE's booking. They've never really considered what crowd they're going to have when they want to work a particular angle. Mm. Yeah, and this is just a case of where this could have been done on a different night in a different venue, and it would have worked a lot better.
Yeah, I think the problem is WWE's trying to have their cake and eat it too. They know that the Wyatts are popular, but at the same time, they're hesitant on pushing them to be that. You know, they're supposed to be heels. They're not supposed to be popular guys in that regard. I mean, it's like what JR said online. Heels are not supposed to be liked. You're not supposed to cheer along with the heels. You're supposed to hate everything they did, which is what the Wyatts were about earlier. But now that people are starting to get into their gimmick, it's kind of hard for them to kind of keep that status quo, especially given a guy like Cena, who his mere existence can shift the status quo of any crowd he's in.
All right, guys. Well, with that, we are going to conclude our main conversation about tonight's Raw and pretty much the main part of our broadcast here. However, we still have a few bits of business, the good, the bad, the ugly, and a few little bit more talks about tonight's Raw. However, that's going to only be in the archive version. So you people joining us live, we're going to be cutting you off in a moment here. We appreciate all of y'all listening. If you want to hear the archive version, tune in to Mega Powers Radio later on, or go to smarkoutmoment.com where you'll see the links for this episode on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. If you want to find it on all any of those avenues, just go ahead and search for Raw Post Show. It'll take you there. And of course, subscribe to us on Facebook and Twitter. The handle on there is Raw Post Show on either one of those, and you'll be able to find wherever the archive version of this and all future episodes will be. Thank you all for listening, and join us next week live after Raw, as we always are. And, yeah, as I said, tune into the archive version. If you're listening to the archive version, then we'll be with you again in just a moment. All right, we are back on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, and it is time for the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what we thought was the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most embarrassing part of the show. Let's start off with Mr. Tony Mango. What was your good, bad, and ugly for tonight?
Good, Bad News Barrett gets pyro. That was awesome. Bad, we got a three-way tie here. Hornswoggle El Torito, Emma Layla, Oksana Page. All three of them were just terrible. And the ugly, Dylan.
Just Dylan. Wago?
Good. It's definitely Bad News Barrett. The bad, probably going to have to go with Rusev, because fuck Rusev. And the ugly is Dylan.
And Miguel.
I gotta agree. Good is Bad News Barrett and Sheamus. That whole matchup was top notch. Bad is a tie between the overly long beatdown segment between Kane and Daniel Bryan and the overly long end segment between John Cena and Bray Wyatt. WWE really needs to learn to just know when to let a bit die. And ugly, the whole Cesaro RVD segment, the whole thing from beginning to commercial break to other commercial break to end, that was just – that really did kill the night for me.
All right. And for me, my good, I'm going to make it unanimous. Bad News Barrett getting the good tonight. Really impressive job with him tonight and how his character has evolved and become so awesome, gotten the crowd behind it. I love it. My bad, I am going to give to the final segment. I agree with all you guys. Dragged on way too long, really awkward, not all that fun. And my ugly, I am going to give to Cesaro's new theme. It's just so unfitting. Maybe I would like it with somebody else, but not good for Cesaro. Try again next week, please. All right, with that, let's wrap things up here by giving all the hosts here an opportunity to tell you about all the things they got cooking up in their ovens. Tony, you're going to go last, actually. I always keep you last.
Lego. Certainly not least.
You go first.
All right. Make sure you check out this Sunday, April 27th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Mega Powers Radio for a special edition of Addicted to Anime. We've got a large group of casters. We're going to be discussing Pokemon and pretty much just having a nostalgia trip as we talk about our memories of the games, anime, and pretty much the whole series in general. Also, UDMMA is in the process of having a reboot, and we'll be back soon with the Octagon Table. And we're going to be talking about upcoming events. We're going to be talking about Hot Topics in MMA. So if you want to keep up to date on news with that, you can go to facebook.com/UDMMA.
We all look forward to UDMMA. And Miguel, you're next.
Well, as you folks know, I come from a far-off land known as the Retro Unlimbed Network, and we have a bunch of programs, products, we got a lot of stuff to offer over there, basically, is what I'm trying to do. I can't even be casual or charismatic during my plugs. Check out the Untitled Movie Show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We're going to be discussing horror films. We're going to be discussing the last 40 years of the horror genre from the 60s, the days of the George Romero's, to the nowadays of the post-Paranormal Activity era. Check out the Rudy J. Ferretti Show, which is Wednesday night at 8. It just debuted last week, actually, hosted by a good buddy of the Untitled Show, Rudy J. Ferretti. Check out the UN Radio Show on Thursday at 8. That's hosted by Travis Goss and Craig Kellerman, I believe. And check out Saturday night at 8. That's I Got Gameplay, hosted by the Master General of Retro Unlim, Mr. Michael Burhan. So check out what we got to offer there. Retro Unlim channel, blogtalkradio.com.
All right. And now, Tony, you go ahead.
All right. Well, I hope that I don't have anything cooking up in my oven because I didn't turn that off. But I do have www.smarkoutmoment.com, the wrestling website that I have with everything wrestling related thrown on there, including the podcast Smack Talk, which you can find on youtube.com/smarkoutmoment, as well as on iTunes and Stitcher. You can find me on Bleacher Report by looking up Anthony Mango, because that's my name. That's how that works. And for everything else under A Mango Tree, like fanboysanonymous.com and so on and so forth, Facebook and Twitter.com/TonyMango or /AMangoTree.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed listening to this show. And if you did, please join us every single week following the conclusion of WWE's Monday Night Raw. We're here on Mega Powers Radio at www.megapowersradio.com. However, if you cannot be here with us live, you can easily find the show archived in many different locations, one of them being the aforementioned smarkoutmoment.com. But if you would like to have it coming to you automatically, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio on your preferred Android or iOS device. You can also find us on the official Mega Powers Radio YouTube channel. And of course, subscribe to the Raw Post Show on Facebook and Twitter at Facebook or Twitter.com/RawPostShow. Once again, everyone, thank y'all so much for tuning in. I'm Mike Payton for Tony Mango, for Miguel Leon, and for Steven Huego. I put him last because I know y'all loved him so much tonight. We'll see y'all next week here on Mega Powers Radio on the NPR Raw Post Show.
I got the whole chat in my hands.